This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. Joining me on Stockbox today is Chris Egger, the CFO of Chariot Gold, which is listed on the AIM market. So, hello, Chris, how are you?
Hello, Mark. Doing very well. Yourself?
Yes, very good. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much for your time. It is, of course, the first time that we're speaking, so I'm looking forward to getting a bit of an understanding about Chariot Gold and the projects that you're into. But I want to pick up, first of all, on a statement that is front and center on your website, and it states that you're building the leading emerging market gold company, which is a very bold statement. So could you start us off by introducing the company and the projects and what you're all about?
Sure. Absolutely. So thank you for having me. And look, very excited to be here. Look, Chariot today is roughly a $200 million AIM-listed business. Went through quite a transformation back in 2018, and we've made good progress to date. The business today operates in two jurisdictions. We have one producing mine in Armenia called Kapan, which we acquired in early 2019. And we have two development assets in Kyrgyzstan called Tolkabash and Kiziltash. The assets are gold assets, and we're building a pipeline of projects that will provide good cash flows to investors, not only today, but in the future. So within the portfolio, we have one producing mine, which is Kapan, the mine in Armenia. And then we have the two development assets in Kyrgyzstan. One is called Tolkabash, which is in what I call early stage construction, near-term production, with a targeted first gold pour in late 2023. And then the second deposit in Kyrgyzstan called Kiziltash is a longer staged, very large project of over 5.6 million ounces, which will come into production in 2026, 2027. But the combination of the three assets will identify Chariot to be ideally a 500,000 ounce gold producing business. So today we produce around 60,000 gold equivalent ounces, but we have a pipeline of projects that we intend to develop to get us to a half a million.
To half a million. Okay. So you've got a good mix of stage of projects there, haven't you then, with one producing, one coming into production around 2024, and then of course going on to 2026, 2027. So where's the current activities focus then and why?
So it goes to the core of our strategy as well, in that we are looking to operate mining assets within the former Soviet Union states, specifically with a focus in Central Asia, as well as the Balkans and the Caucasus. So we have obviously an asset in Armenia. We have two assets in Kyrgyzstan. We've looked at other assets within these areas. But we're very excited about the geological rich profile of the areas where we operate. Mining is the core industry in both of the countries where we operate, and we see quite a lot of mining assets that have attractive potential within our existing geographies, plus neighboring geographies. And there hasn't been that many and very few what I call Western-run companies that have operated assets well in these geographies. And that's a core aspect of our focus, because we believe that we can create quite a lot of potential by bringing in Western standards with the highest ESG standards into these geographies in order to extrapolate value and operate them at a much higher level. What we find is the assets that we have operated or are looking to operate are undercapitalized and lack sophisticated management structures. And so by putting in just normal disciplinary management with structured capital program spending, you can create a lot of value. And that's why we're looking to operate in these geographies, which we think can create huge potential for the shareholder base.
Okay. So really, is that the core reason why you see the opportunity in particular in Asia and former Soviet Union countries? It's the geology that attracts you, is it?
Very much so. So we operate today in a belt called the Tianshan Gold Belt, which hosts some of the richest gold mines in the world. Mohrentau, which is in Uzbekistan, has, I think, one of the largest resources bases in the world. And what we've seen is that this area has been incredibly undercapitalized and underdeveloped. So, for example, in 2019, there was a study that reported that only 1% of the exploration drilling occurred in Asia and the FSU region, which means that you have a very geological rich, areas that have not been properly explored. And that's where we see the potential, as well as providing what I call the Western operating standards into jurisdictions that have lacked that sort of discipline. And look, you see a lot of orphaned assets, you see a lot of potential, but the strategy is twofold. One is to extrapolate value from our existing assets, and secondly is to look for potential M&A opportunities. But we really focus the business on our existing asset base because we think that that pipeline from going from 60,000 ounces to 500,000 ounces will create huge value potential for our investor base and future investors.
Okay. So you believe that bringing in the Western standards, and you've mentioned there about ESG, which is, of course, the environmental standards as well. And you also say on your website that you want to operate to the highest environmental and social governance standards. What are these jurisdictions like to operate in? And do you really feel that these kind of elements that you bring to it actually will matter in these jurisdictions in particular?
We do. So look, I would say that both jurisdictions are fairly well established mining jurisdictions that have, I would say, fairly decent local laws and practices for maintaining high ESG standards, but we can always do better. And so we have a team of people that have worked obviously in mines all around the world that look to implement best practices. One example is in Kapan in Armenia. When we bought the mine was operating to all its regulatory requirements on site, but we felt that we could do better with regards to the tailings facility and increasing the level of buttressing to more international standards. So we've invested additional dollars into maintaining high safety standards. But when you think about ESG, it's not just environment, it's also the social interaction, and it's also the governmental interaction. And so we pride ourselves in being local employers. For example, at Kapan, we only have one expat. That mine is very much dominated by a local employer workforce, which is what's necessary in some of these jurisdictions with Western management. And then in both jurisdictions, we do an awful lot to help with the communities by modernizing a wing of the hospital, modernizing the kindergarten school, providing a business to the local uniforms company, things of that nature to try and provide back to the community, but obviously within reason. And that creates the right environment to operate at our highest levels in these geographies.
Okay. And are there any neighbors in your area or historical projects that you can perhaps draw some inspiration from?
Geologically, there is a number of deposits in the area. There's obviously the Kumtor mine that's owned by Centerra in Kyrgyzstan that produces close to 500,000 ounces of gold, is extremely rich geological deposit that has around 13 million ounces of gold. That's a very good one. I spoke about Morin Tau in Uzbekistan, which is, I think, over the years has 170 million ounces of resources. There's the Jurur mine in Kyrgyzstan that just started up that also has a fairly large resource base. So there's quite a number of assets within this Tian Shan gold belt that give us great confidence about the prospectus of our asset. But most importantly, what we do is we drill our own asset, and we know that within our asset base today, we have close to 10 million ounces of gold, which represents, you know, an enormous amount of gold relative to other mining companies. So I think we're very confident that we have a very geological rich area that we can continue to explore, and that our assets have that gold already in the ground.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier that you are currently producing around 60,000 ounces at the moment, and you must be revenue generating then. You've got a market cap of £159 million. So can you give us any indication of the figures of the revenue and the turnover at the moment? And does that really underpin, do you think, that the value? And then we've got the upside potential of the other two projects coming up.
Correct. So look, with the current commodity prices, our revenues are about $100 million, and the EBITDA at the Kapan asset is in the $25 to $30 million range at these pricing. We also have some corporate expenses, and we have also expenses to develop the asset in Kyrgyzstan. But at 160 million pounds or $200 million, we think we're very much undervalued, because at 60,000 ounces, which is the Kapan mine, that mine today on the books of our brokers that cover us is valued around $150 million to $200 million. So when you look at it from a market cap perspective, effectively the market is giving us credit for our Kapan asset, but we're getting very little value for our assets in Kyrgyzstan, which we believe creates huge potential in value creation in our share price. So we do think we're considerably undervalued. When we have Tulkubash operating, that mine will be close to an $80 to $100 million EBITDA asset. So with $80 to $100 million from Tulkubash, $25 to $30 from Kapan, you're talking about a $100 to $120 million EBITDA business, which should easily be worth, you know, well over a half a billion dollars, if not close to $1 billion. So we think that we have the potential to increase the share price by multiples through the development of our Tulkubash asset.
Okay. And it's an opportunity to scale up in Armenia.
There is. Mm-hmm. So our asset in Armenia has some good organic growth opportunities, mm-hmm. in the sense that the asset has capacity in its infrastructure. So the mill has the ability to process close to 1 million tons of ore, but today we're only putting 700,000, 600,000 tons through the mill because the underground is constrained. So we have the ability to increase more ore in the mill, and that's through either development of other parts of our deposit or by buying third-party ore. So we're doing a little bit of buying third-party ore and processing that, but the main, call it, growth opportunity in Kapan is by developing another face of the mine, which we call the East Flank, which will help fill the mill with additional ore and should increase the EBITDA by at least 50%. So we're developing that. We're on its way to developing that other East Flank. So that's one key growth project for our mine. And then the second opportunity is we are looking at other M&A opportunities within the country. It's, again, a very geological rich area, mm-hmm. but we are focusing very much on the organic growth and exploiting this capacity utilization that we have at Kapan.
Okay. So you have plans there to build upon Kapan and also looking at mergers and acquisitions perhaps in Armenia as well. What does the roadmap then to scaling up look like over the Kyrgyzstan projects?
So in Kyrgyzstan, we have the two projects. So Tulkubash, like I said, it's in near-term construction. So we've invested over $50 million in this project to date through exploration and early-stage construction activities to develop a 100,000-ounce gold mine, which will be an open-pit heap leach operation, very straightforward, very simple to operate. We are looking to complete the project financing to bring in the remaining capital required to build the project. The project has about $115 million of CapEx required to get the asset into production, which is roughly a two-year time frame. So that means that if we start today, we should be at the end of 2023, early 2024 in the first gold production. That asset is very much ready to go. We've, like I said, spent quite a bit of money. I am just working on finalizing a project financing that would provide the capital in order to complete the CapEx required to build. And so in two and a half years, we'll be in a state of producing that additional 100,000 ounces and obviously to leverage the existing work that's been done. So that's that asset. And then the other asset, Kyzyltash, which is our largest asset of 5.6 million ounces, we are doing exploration work in this deposit in order to create the right amount of work in order to bring the asset into what I call a bankable feasibility stage, and then continue to develop the project to get it funded and built. But that's a 5 to 6 year time frame.
Okay. And I wonder if I can ask you finally then, perhaps could you give three reasons why investors might consider investing in Chaarat?
Sure. So look, I would say the first one is the management team and the operating team has a proven track record for development of assets and growth in businesses. So we've all done this in the past and obviously looking to do it again. The second point is we have a clear track record for development of our existing asset base. And we believe that we operate in a very geological rich environment. And so with the asset base, we think that we'll create huge value potential for our shareholders. And then the third point is that we believe our stock price today is extremely undervalued. I mean, a lot of management teams will say this, but I think with the research reports that we have and the fact that most brokers have us targeted at a target share price around 60p and we're trading at around 23p, we think that we are extremely undervalued, not only from a capital markets perspective, but for people understanding how much gold we have in the ground and the ability for us to grow our existing asset base. So I would say it's those three points that should provide an attractive investment opportunity for potential shareholders.
Okay. Well, Chris Egger, the CFO of Chariot Gold, thank you very much for your time, giving us that introduction to the company and what the roadmap looks like.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews, and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching at Stockbox Media.